These are the natural olive trees, and or the natural olive branches, I should say, the tree, or the stump is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we all come out of Him. God reached down and picked out a nation that He was going to use to evangelize the world, to give us the Word of God, to give us the Lord Jesus Christ, that everybody might be saved. Now, the Jews as a nation did not accomplish the job that God had for them. And so God says, all right, since you are not evangelizing and since you're not spreading the gospel around the world like you should, I'm going to set you aside and I'm going to take a wild olive branch and I'm going to graft the wild into the good. Now, this is quite contrary to nature. Normally, what we do is we take a wild stump and we take a good branch and we graft the good into the wild so we can have good fruit. But here God reaches over and He takes a wild branch, which is talking about the Gentiles, people who don't have an affinity toward God, and yet He takes them and those who were trusting as their Savior, He grafts them in. And they become the part of the tree. And the reason why God did this is because of the unbelief of the true or the tame olive tree. In the 20th verse, it makes it very plain there. Look there for just a moment. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. There's a reference to the tame or the regular olive tree. They were broken off, and thou, the Gentiles or the wild olive, stand by faith. In other words, we are placed into the tree, into the stump, into the Lord Jesus Christ because of our faith. And as we have been going through the book of Romans over and over again, Paul has been emphasizing how that you, the way you are saved, the way you receive righteousness, the way you get in a right relationship to God is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always by faith, not by any works that we have done, by keeping the law or being a good man, but by our faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. And so the Bible says that we stand by faith, so don't be high-minded, but fear. Now, don't get fat-headed because you're good. No, we're not good. We see a lot of Christians who are legalistic and they are self-righteous and they walk down the street and they think that I'm so much better than everybody else because I'm going to heaven and everybody else is going to hell. Well, the only reason why we're going to heaven, if we're going there, is because of our faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. We don't go to heaven by anything that we do ourselves, so we can't get fat-headed back. Remember in the third chapter of Romans, in the 28th verse, he says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We are justified by what we do, but by what Jesus Christ does for us. Therefore, Jesus Christ receives all the honor and all the glory and all the praise for our salvation, for everything that we have. We should be praising Him for it. So, we should fear and we should not be fat-headed. For if God spared not the natural branch, if God did not spare the Jews, which were the natural branch, take heed lest He also spare not you. Now, we as Gentiles, we think we have an edge on God today, and we think the Jew is out. Well, now, if God cut off the Jew because they didn't evangelize, and they were complacent, and they just sat around and didn't tell people how to have forever life, then do you think that God won't cut us off? Do you think that if we get to the place where all we're interested in is social action and not regeneration? And this is what our country is coming to today. This is the big road. Is let's just clean up the slums and let's clean up everybody and let's have all kinds of social action. Let's get rid of all the social ills and everybody will be fine. No. You can get rid of every social ill that ever has been and people are still not fine. They're still not all right until they have been born again. Until they stand by faith, because when God cuts a nation off or God cuts the people off, He cuts them off on the basis of their faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone. And if you'll read your Bible, you'll see that this is true. Now realize that man and man's ideas are quite different from this. So we've got to get back to the Bible. And we've got to get back to what God says about the thing and forget what man thinks about any particular thing. Notice the 22nd verse. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. Now, God is good and He's severe. God wants to show His grace, but God also will show judgment. Now, you notice the goodness of God, and you notice the judgment of God, of the severity of God. And He will do both. He will go either way. He says, upon them, on them who fell, severity. Now, why did they fall? They fell in unbelief. They fell because they would not trust the Messiah. They would not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the reason they fell. Upon them that fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, maybe you will and maybe you won't. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Now, you Gentiles, if you continue in His goodness, and how do you continue in His goodness? By faith. You stand by faith. The 20th verse. The way you stand in His goodness is by your faith, and maybe you will and maybe you won't stand by His faith. But if you don't, you'll be cut off. But it, and they also, if they abide not in unbelief, maybe they will and maybe they will. The Jews, if they abide in unbelief, they'll be cut off too. Everybody who abides in unbelief, everybody who will not trust God, will not trust the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be cut off. That if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Now, if they don't abide in unbelief, if they believe, in other words, he's putting it in the reverse order here, if they abide not in unbelief, or if they believe, they'll be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. If they believe, they'll be grafted in just like you, who is a wild, can be grafted in. So God wants everybody in, but everybody's not going to be in. Now, sooner or later, they will. If you have your Bible, the Jews we're talking about, we'd like for you to turn to Jeremiah for just a moment. Let's look at Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. God is able to graft them in again, and one day the Jews will be back in real belief. Now, they're in unbelief, and this is the reason why they have been scattered around the world, the reason why they have been persecuted, the reason why they have been mistreated for well over 2,000 years. Is because of their unbelief. Now look at the third verse of the 23rd chapter. Notice he says, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries. Now they have been scattered around the world. You can find Jews everywhere. And wherever you find them, whether it's in Germany, they're German Jews. If they're in Russia, they're Russian Jews. If they're in America, they're an American Jew. Regardless of where they are, they're still Jews. He says, now I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries to which I have driven them. Now, God drove them out of the land of Palestine because of why? Unbelief. Because they would not trust Him, He drove them out of Palestine. He says, now I will gather them back from where I have driven them and will bring them again into their fold. And they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, neither be dismayed. Now they are fearing now everywhere they are. But they will fear no more, neither will they be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. They won't be suffering. They won't lack anything. Behold, they come, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the earth. And this branch out of David is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. See, he's going to be called the Lord our righteousness. Now notice the 7th verse. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth who brought us up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You see, the Jews go back still to the Passover. Did you know that the Passover is the oldest religious holiday in existence today? And it started back in Moses' day. It started 1,500 years before Christ. And they still go back to it. The Jews still observe the Passover. But in this day, they won't go back to the Passover. They'll forget all about it. Because, you see, there will be another deliverer. They will be delivered again in a greater way than even Moses delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that was a tremendous thing because 2 million adults who were slaves came out of Egypt and were free. And that was a tremendous thing, but this is going to even be greater. Notice the 8th verse. But the Lord liveth, who brought up and who led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, which is Russia. Russia is north of Palestine. And from all countries to which I have driven them, they shall dwell in their land until what? The fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, what does that mean? The Jews are blinded because of unbelief until all the Gentiles who are going to be saved are saved. That's the fullness of the Gentiles. When the church gets completely filled, when everybody is saved that's going to be saved that's Gentile, then there's something else going to happen. You see? Now, I wonder who the last Gentile is going to be saved, who he is. He may be in this service this morning. That last one who is to be saved. If that last one trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior this morning, the church age will be over. The tribulation will start. The last part of the Jewish age will go into effect, which is the Bible calls the Great Tribulation, or Jacob's Trouble, or the 70th week of Daniel, and we'll start in the book of Daniel tonight, going through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And when we get to the 9th chapter of Daniel, we'll see there how it God predicted, or God told, he didn't predict, he told exactly what was going to happen. How the Jews were going to have 483 years to evangelize the world, the Messiah was going to be cut off, and then he was going to give them 7 additional years because he promised them 490 to start with. And he's going to confirm his covenant with the people, with the Jewish people, for the last week, for the last 7 years. So they'll do what they were supposed to do, evangelize the world. And in 7 years, they're going to evangelize the world like they never have done in the past. You see, this is what the Jewish nation's problem is all about. This is what their responsibility was to do, was to evangelize the world. And friends, this is our responsibility. This is just as much your responsibility to evangelize a world as it was the Apostle Paul. It's just as much your responsibility that everybody in the world hears about the Lord Jesus Christ. People are always disturbed about the people who've never heard. Well, if they're so disturbed about people who've never heard, why don't they go and tell them? They're so concerned about those people over there in the South Sea Isles. Why don't they go over there and explain it to them? If they're so concerned about the people down in Africa, why don't they go out there and tell them? Well, they can't go but one place at a time. Well, why don't they give money to do it then? And send somebody else? You know. If we're concerned, let's do something about it. One of these days, the last Gentile is going to be saved, and it's going to all be over. That'd be a glorious day. I'd like to be preaching that sermon. I'd be like to witness, be the one who is witnessing there, that last person who trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. As soon as he said, yes, that lost to God. Would you like to do that? Well, let's get busy then. Because one day, the last number, and there's a certain number, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know how many has been saved in the past. We may have another 1,000 years to go with this thing. At the rate we're going, we're not getting very far along the way. I'm talking about as a whole world. We're not winning very many people. I understand it takes about 60 or 70 Baptists to win one every year. Shame on us. Have you won anybody this year? Have you talked to anybody personally about the Lord Jesus and explained to them how to be saved and
so-and-so and trust Christ to save you. Well, if you've been saved over a year and you haven't been doing this, there's something wrong with you. You are spiritually anemic. There's something wrong. Now, it doesn't mean that you've got to win somebody, but it does mean that you need to be witnessing to somebody. The Bible never told us we had to win the world, but he told us we had to evangelize where we have to tell the world about Jesus. We sing that song, "I'll Tell the World That I'm a Christian." I wonder how many of us really do that when we sing that. Well, one of these days, the fullness of the Gentile is going to be come in. It'll be all over. The 26th verse, "So all Israel shall be saved." Now, if we just take this verse of Scripture out of its context, we'd say then all the Jews everywhere that ever have lived are going to be saved. That's what he's talking about. It says, "All Israel shall be saved," that is written, "There shall come out of Zion, out of Israel, the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now, the one who is coming is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn from the 9th chapter of Romans, the 6th verse, and let's turn back there for just a moment and find out who Israel is. Look at 9:6 once again. Now, we have looked at this verse of Scripture a couple of times, but it says, "Not as though the word of God hath taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all called children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now, who is true Israel? Just those who are saved. Now, the reason why all Israel are not Israel, because to be a true Israel, you have to have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, Abraham had two sons, as we have pointed out many, many times. One of them trusted Christ, the other did not. Ishmael never trusted Christ, even though he was the oldest. And his seed should have gone down through Ishmael and not through Isaac. But God bypassed Ishmael because Ishmael was in unbelief. He never trusted Christ. Then Isaac had twin sons. One was a Jew and one was a Gentile. Why was one a Jew and one a Gentile? Because one believed and the other one did not. Esau never trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, even though he was just as much a son of Isaac. Since he was a twin son, they had the same mother, they were born at the same time. And Esau was the older. He was born first. He was the older. And was the firstborn. And the blessing should have gone down through him. But he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ rejected him. And the blessing passed down through Jacob. And Jacob is true Israel. And not Esau. Ishmael is not true. You've got to be born again. And that's what he's talking about here. Now true Israel shall be delivered. You see, when the deliverer comes, he's going to deliver who? True Israel. All Israel shall be saved. They'll be delivered. This word saved means to be delivered. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and baptizes all the unsaved people with fire, when he comes back to the earth again, he's going to deliver true Israel. They're going to be delivered and they'll be able to come back into the land, just exactly what he's talking about in the context. They'll all be back into Palestine, just like Jeremiah told us that they would. God's going to gather them from the four corners of the world. He's going to gather them from the north country and everywhere else. And they're going to come back. And then he's going to turn ungodliness from Jacob. There won't be any ungodliness in Israel. He's going to be there ruling and reigning in righteousness. He's going to be the Prince of Peace. There's going to be peace on the earth for 1,000 years. And he's going to reign like that. He says, "This is my covenant unto them, when I will take away their sin." You see, in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, the 31st through the 37th verse, says that God's going to give them a new covenant. Well, you won't have to preach to everybody, your neighbor, but everybody will know the Lord. His word will be in their mind and upon their hearts and upon their lips. And anywhere you go, people will be talking about the Lord. And you won't have to witness then. As we pointed out many times, a lot of people are going to be real glad for the millennium, where you won't feel guilty when somebody's not saved and you don't have to witness to them. And they don't want to witness now, a lot of people don't. Just like I didn't when I first trusted Christ as my Savior. I didn't want to witness.
I don't want to tell people how to be saved. I was too bashful and I didn't know enough. God says, people lost now. If you don't tell them, nobody will. And it bugged me. It upset me. It disturbed me. It disturbed me something awful. I still didn't witness. So the Lord began to spank. He began to discipline. And I began to learn. Then I began to tell people. And first thing you know, I began to preach of all things. And here I am today, up here explaining the gospel Sunday after Sunday. Something that I could not do. But I am. I learned how. And so can you. Well, He's going to take away their sin. They will be out from under the fifth cycle of discipline. No one will have to preach the gospel. They'll be back in the land, and they'll be back in belief, not as they are today. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Why are they enemies? Because of unbelief. But for our sake, that the fullness of the Gentiles can come in, that Gentiles can be saved, God has picked out another nation, the Gentile nation, to evangelize the world, to tell people about Jesus Christ. But in touching the election, they are the beloved of for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You see, when God gives a gift, and God calls a person to do a certain thing, he never regrets it. Now, there are two words in the Bible that use that translated repent. One of them means to change your mind, and the other means to regret. And this word here means to regret. This doesn't mean to change your mind. It means to regret. And the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without regret. God never regrets giving a person a gift. And when we get into the 12th chapter of Romans in a couple of weeks, we're going to see the gifts, or some of the gifts, that God has given to us as Christians. You see, every Christian has a gift. He has a spiritual gift that he can exercise to in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all gifts are for the purpose of serving the Lord Jesus. Now, you have a gift. I don't know what it is. And you may not know what it is. But you can still exercise that gift, and you can still use that gift to God's glory if you'll be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, you've got to be controlled by the Spirit to exercise your gift, whether you know what it is or not. But every Christian has a gift, and when you're not exercising your gift, the body, the church of Jesus Christ is hindered. And the work is not accomplished that God wants to get accomplished in your community or wherever you happen to live. You must be exercising your gift. And you do have one. And God never regrets having given anybody a gift or a calling. Now, sometimes the way I preach, I think maybe he regretted that he called me that particular sermon. Or sometimes the way I do, I feel like maybe God regretted that he even called me to preach. But he says he never does. He never regrets having called anybody. And maybe you've been called to preach. Maybe you have. Well, God still doesn't regret it. And that calling will stand till you die. It'll stand till you die. And the gift that you have, he's given it to you, he'll never take it away from you. And it'll be yours until you die. Until you die. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. You see, it's always belief and unbelief. Even so, these also now not believe, though that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. Even though the Jews do not believe, when you obtain mercy and then you give out the gospel, they'll obtain mercy. See, by our witnessing to the Jews, and so what do we do today? We witness to Jews, Gentiles, anybody. Doesn't make any difference. So the Jews get to be grafted in. The Jews get salvation today just as big as they did when they had the gospel, and it was their responsibility to evangelize the world. They can be saved just as easily today as they could then.
It's always been exactly the same way. All the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Listen, we can't even fathom God's knowledge and God's wisdom. God has a plan. God knows what He's doing. God's working in lives here and around the world, and He knows exactly what He's doing. You see, He made sure you were here this morning for a reason. Now, I don't know that reason. Maybe there was just one thing said this morning that hit you. If you were listening, there was something here for you. Maybe not the whole message. And you might not have understood everything, but there's something that was said here this morning for you if I was controlled by the Holy Spirit. And it will be every morning. Every service that you're here, there'll be something that you need if you listen to it carefully. Of course, now if you're talking and you are not listening, and yet you might miss your part, see. That one thing that you needed so desperately, you could have missed it. Because you weren't attentive. Oh, how unsearchable are God's judgments. And His ways past finding out. All this we'll never understand at all. There's no way to understand God's ways. But we sure can know some of them. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? No one's ever been able to pick His mind and understand everything that He knows. We do. We can understand a lot. Because in 1 Corinthians it says we have the mind of Christ. I believe it's in the 5th chapter. We have the mind of Christ. Who hath been His counselor? Who's been able to counsel God? No, you don't counsel God. Now you ask God for counsel. But you don't counsel Him. He's all knowledge. He knows everything. Who has first given to Him? Who has ever first given God anything? God always gives us first. So, you don't give to Him first. He gives you first. And then you can give back to Him. Now, this is not talking about just money. In fact, that's the least of God's worry is your money. He'd rather have you any day than your money. Now, I know a lot of preachers preach just exactly the opposite. All they're interested in is your money. We care about your money. We want you. So, we want people who are interested in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. God will take care of the finances. You don't have to worry about that. But you see, when you're stubborn, you won't do what God wants you to do. You see, then that's when we really hurt. That's when we hurt bad. There's people who will serve the Lord Jesus Christ and witness Him, witness for Him. Who have first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed to Him again. When you can't give to Him first, but if you give, it'll be recompensed, it'll be given back to you. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And amen. God gives His best to those who leave the choice of Him.